We're beginning the sixth perek of Nazir, bottom Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. Here in this perek, we're going to be starting to talk about the actual things that are usur to a Nazir. Till now, we've been talking about, of course, that a Nazir is usur to eat grapes and drink wine and to become tamei mes and cut his hair, but we haven't really gone into the details. This perek is going to deal with the details of all of that, what exactly is usur to him. It's not really going to focus so much on Tumah, because Tumah there's a lot to talk about, so that's going to be in later prakim, but it's going to focus more on, it's going to talk about Tumah a little bit, but it's going to focus more on the other two things. And also at the end of it, we're going to talk about some dinim about his karbanis. So the Mishnah starts off, Shloshim minin asurin b'nazir. There are three types of things that are usur to the nazir. Hatumah v'atiglachas v'ayotzim min hagefen, becoming tamei mes, shaving his hair, or even cutting his hair, as we'll see later on in the perek, and anything that comes out of the grapevine. And the Mishnah continues, v'chol ha'yotzim min hagefen. Now, everything that comes out of the grapevine, so you're talking, for example, fresh grapes, dried grapes, peels, grape seeds, all of those, mitztarif and zemzeh, they all combine with one another. So what the shiur is, the Mishnah is going to go on to say, but in other words, it doesn't have to be, for example, the Mishnah is going to go on to say in the next line that the shiur is a kazayas, so it wouldn't have to be, for example, that a person ate a kazayas only of grapes. Let's say, for example, part of the kazayas is made up of fresh grapes, and part of it of raisins, and part of it of grape seeds, and so forth, then he'd still get malchus. Mishnah continues, Ve'en chayev ad sheyochem min ha'anovim kazayas. He'd only be chayev only if he eats a kazayas of the grapes. And Tosfos explained further on that actually according to this opinion in the Mishnah, also the drinking, he'd only be chayev, even though normally by drinking we say the shir is a revius, here instead by drinking it would also be a kazayas, because the Pasuk puts them together, because when the Pasuk talks about the dinim of what a nazir is and isn't allowed to do, so it mentions that he's not allowed to eat fresh grapes and dried grapes and wine and so forth, so the idea would be, therefore, that even the drinking then would be included also in the shear of a revius, or rather the shear of a kazayas. Tosfos, the Tosfos for this Mishnah are printed later in the perek, but the explanation is, how do you figure out a kazayas of wine? So you take a zayas of the appropriate size and you put it into a glass of wine and into a cup of wine, and you see how much wine, into a full cup of wine, you see how much spills out, and that amount would be the volume of the kazayas. Then the Mishnah continues, Mishnah Rishona Emeres. Now the original Mishnah had said, there were earlier Mishnayos long before Rebbe, and then later on you have eventually the Tanoim discuss things, and sometimes they change things. Sometimes we have Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona. We had an example of that at the end of Nedarim as well. So the Mishnah Rishona says Ad sheyishter revius yayin, that he's only chayev for drinking only if he drinks a revius of wine. And then the same Tosfos says over there that actually the same thing would be as far as eating as well, that to eat also according to this Mishnah Rishona, he'd be chayav for only a revius. Tosfos actually wonders that Tosfos later on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, I mean, usually we have the Mishnah Rishona comes first, then the Mishnah Achrona. Why is the Mishnah doing it out of order? And also, the Mishnah is going to go on to say, Rabbi Akiva is going to mention Kazayis. So first we have Kazayis, like Mishnah Achrona. Then we go back to Mishnah Rishona. And then we go back to Rabbi Akiva. So Tosfos has a number of questions on it, and explains that no, when we say that ad sheyochem min ha'anovim kazayas, so no. So it wouldn't be like Tosfos' first explanation that the first statement in the Mishnah says that both eating and drinking would be a kazayas. Rather, what it would be is according to the beginning of the Mishnah, you would have that you're chayev only if you eat a kazayas, and that everybody would agree with. Then the machloikas would be as far as drinking. So now, Mishnah Rishona says that only if you drink a revius, because usually, as with drinking, usually the shear is a revius. And then the Mishnah Rishona, the Mishnah Achrona would say that no, drinking is also a kazayas, and that would be what Rabbi Akiva says. That Rabbi Akiva goes on to say later, we'll have in the Gemara later on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, that Rabbi Akiva holds that the eating and the drinking are comparable, and therefore the shear has to be the same for both. So according to that, then the Mishnah flows more smoothly, because first it's telling us something that everybody agrees with, then it's telling us within, when it comes to the drinking, then you have a machlokas between Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona as far as what the shira is. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva continues, says, "Afilu shara pita b'yayin, even if the nozir soaked his bread in wine, the yeshbak de letzarif, and you have enough of the bread plus the wine together are enough to make up a gazayis, then chayev, then he'd still be chayev. This is a concept called heter mitzarif le'isur. So again, we're going to have a discussion of it later on in the Gemara, in a couple of blocks, where Rabbi Akiva gets that from. But there is such a concept that Rabbi Akiva holds, and it comes up in other places in Shas as well, that he holds of heter mitzarif le'isur. In this case, bread is perfectly mutter to a nozer. It's only wine and grapes and things like that that are also to him. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva holds that in this case, once the bread soaked up and absorbed the taste of wine, then it it's included as well, and the total kazayas can be made up partially of bread as well. Mishnah continues, v'chayev ala yayin b'fnei atzmai. Now a nozer is chayev for wine all by itself, v'ala anovim b'fnei atzman, for grapes all by themselves, v'ala chatzanin b'fnei atzman, also for grape seeds all by themselves. Or we're going to see in the Mishnah soon what chatzanim and zagim are. Vala zagim b'fnei atzman, and also for the zagim by themselves, which if we translate chatzanim as the seeds, then zagim would be the peels. We're going to see in the Mishnah in a minute that there are opinions that say that it's the other way around. Anyway, the point is he's chayiv for each one of them individually. So in other words, if he ate a kezias of any one of those things, then he would be chayiv malchus for that. You wouldn't say, for example, let's say in particular as far as the seeds, that the seeds are not something you normally eat. Maybe we'd say it's not considered derech achila. Nevertheless, that a person is chayiv for them because the Torah does mention them individually. Since the Torah spells them out, the Torah says mechatzanim v'adzog lo yoichol. So therefore, that constitutes a lav to not eat them. Rabbi Lozer ben Azaria Omer, ein chayev ad sheyechol shnei chartzanim v'zag. On the other hand, Rabbi Lozer ben Azaria says, a person is chayev only if he ate two chartzanim, which would be the seeds, v'zog, and the peel that goes together with them. And a reason for that, Rabbi Elvel Brisker explains that it's a reason because he would hold that would be considered a beria. We know in the Torah, a lot of times there can be an Isra Achila, and usually the Isra would be only a Kazayas, but if a person eats an entire beria, an entire creature as it was, then he's Chayev for that alone. So here the argument is that the two seeds and the peel together make up enough to be considered a beria. So, continues the Mishnah. Elohein Chartzanim ve'Elohein Zagim. What is the definition of Chartzanim and Zagim respectively? Hachartzanim elu achitzoinim. So the chartzanim would mean the outside, would mean the peel of the grape. Hazagim elu apnimim, and the zagim would be the inside, would be the seeds of the grape. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's how Rabbi Yehuda defines them. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's the other way around. And he says, shaloi tita, that you shouldn't make a mistake. Think of it, the word zag is similar to the word zug, which means a bell. So kizug. So kizug shal behema. So you can compare it to the bell that you have around the neck of an animal. Hachitzin zug. The outer part of the bell is called zug. Vapnimi inbol. The inner part, the clapper that makes it ring, has a name of its own. It's called inbol. So therefore, by the same token, if we have the word zog in connection with the isurim of a nazir, we should assume that the zog means similar to a zug, means a bell, meaning the outside of the bell. And maybe Rabbi Yehuda would answer to that fine, but a bell is really only a bell, only if it has a clapper or whatever. Rabbi Yossi is saying that's the definition. That's the definition that's accepted lahalacha as well. In fact, Tosfos points out that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria agrees with Rabbi Yossi, and that fits together with what the Brisker Rav says, that only if you're talking about one peel and two seeds, okay, grapes that have seeds in them usually have two grapes. You have seedless grapes, of course, but you do have, when they have seeds, you usually have two of them, one on each side. So therefore, that together can be enough to be considered a beria, as opposed to if you have two, if he were to hold like Rabbi Yehuda's definition, then what would be the logic? You should have to have two peels and one seed. How would that be considered a beria at all? And therefore, that's what brings Tosfos to say that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria agrees with Rabbi Yossi's definition. Okay, I mean, maybe it's not so negei la halacha, since the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria anyhow, but it might be negei la halacha, for example, if they gave a person hasra, if they saw he was about to eat grape peels, and they tell him, that's also, don't eat chartzanim, then according to Rabbi Yossi, he's not going to be chayiv malchus because they gave him the wrong hasra, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then that would be the right hasra, and vice versa if they told him zog. Okay. The Gemara starts off. We said shlosha minin asurim b'nazir ha-tumacholo. So we say that among the things that are also to a nazir is things that come out of the grapevine. And the Gemara says, now you're saying that things that come out of the grapevine, hayotzim min ha-gefen ein, you're saying things that come out of the grapevine are also to him. Gefen atzmoi loy, the implication seems to be that the vine itself is not also to him. In other words, if the person were to eat pieces of the vine, then he wouldn't necessarily be chayiv malchus. For example, if he eats the grape leaves, let's say, masnissin deloy k'Rabbi Elazar, in which case our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Elazar. Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer, and on the side over here it says maybe it should be maybe it says it should be Rabbi Eliezer. Anyway, so Rabbi Eliezer says afilu olin v'lulavin b'mashma, that no, when the pasuk says that anything that comes from the grapevine is also to a nazir, it means even, for example, the leaves. Olin is the leaves. Lulavin means the young new growth. They have a grapevine has out of the woody stems. The grapevine has woody stems, which is why it's considered a tree in halacha. But then it has, they grow out of it little new shoots every year, where that way the branch grow longer, and also you have these little things that grow out of them that they attach themselves to that way by if they're near a fence, then they'll attach themselves to the fence that way, and that way they climb and so forth. So those kinds of things are called lulavim. And Rabbi Eliezer is saying that a person would be, that the nazir would be chayiv malchus for eating them also. Okay, so the Gemara says, "B'mayi kamifli." What's the underlying machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim? Why is Rabbi Eliezer including leaves and lulavim and everybody else is not? So Rabbi Eliezer darshu buyu miuti rabbanim darshi klali uprati. Because you have this Rabbi Eliezer darshins, when you have we know the concept, we say it every morning in Davin, klal uprati klal yatadana lekena prat. There's many times in Shas we find there's two ways of understanding when you have a general statement like that. Then you have some specifics, and then you have another general statement. There's two ways of understanding it. You can understand that it's a klaloprat, klaloprat to klal, which means it starts out with a klal, where we were saying there's a general rule that would include everything. Then the prat tells us limit it only to the specific things that we had over here. Once we have another klal, then it tells us, okay, we do have to broaden it from the prat, because after all, we have another klal, but we don't broaden it completely. We only broaden it to include, we find what are the things that it mentions in the pasuk, what do they have in common, or what is something that we can say about them that has in common with other things, and that is how we're going to determine what belongs in that class, and therefore what is going to be included in the prat. Later on in the Masechta, by the way, we're going to talk about, if that's the case, why does the Torah need to do it in a way of klal or prat or klal? For example, why can't it just do the prat by itself, for example, or why can't it do a klal or prat? Well, we'll talk about that later in the Masechta. But anyway, the point is, that's if we say klal or prat or klal. If we say ribui, miut, ribui, then it means we start out by including everything, ribui, then miut tells us to exclude certain things. The ribui then tells us include everything except whatever one thing we can find that is the least similar to the things that are mentioned over there. So in other words, with klal or prat or klal, we're going to try to find which things are similar in as many possible ways to the things that we listed over there. So therefore, we're going to have a much smaller class of things that are going to be included. We're going to have whichever things are in the pasuk, as well as whichever things are very similar to them. As opposed to with ribui, miut, ribui, we're going to include many more things that are very, very dissimilar from them, as long as they're not the most dissimilar. Anyway, so Rabbi Elazar darshu buyu miuti. So Rabbi Elazar darshins that way. So he says like this, b'yayin v'sheicho yazir. So actually here it's not a klal or prat or klal, really. Here it's a miut and ribui, or prat and klal. Allah says, "Miyayin v'shecher yazir." When the pasuk says he should separate himself from wine and from strong wine, miyit, then that would be a miyuk, that it would mean only wine and strong wine. Yayin meaning like grape juice, and shecher would mean actual wine. Would be also to him. Then the pasuk continues, "Mikol asher ya'asim gefen hayayin." The pasuk continues, anything that's made from the grapevine, riba. So that's a ribui that includes that's a ribui that includes many other things as well. And Tosfos points out, even though it is true that later on you have other things that are mentioned in the pasuk as well. You do have, after all, afterwards it mentions that he's not allowed to drink vinegar and he's not allowed to drink fresh and dried grapes and so on and so forth. Rabbi Lozer would hold, like Rabbi Lozer Barazawi in our Mishnah, that from that you learn that he's only chayev as far as grape seeds and peels, only if he eats two seeds and one peel. So therefore, you only have a miut v'ribui. So you have miut v'ribui. So the word mikol asher ya'asim gefen hayayin is a ribui. Therefore, miut v'riba. So we have a miut followed by a ribui. My riba, so what are we including? Riba kol mili. Then by that, we're including everything. We're saying that it would include anything that comes from a grapevine. Or my miyut, so what is the one thing that we're being the miyut? Again, when we have a ribu miyut, it means that the Torah is telling us exclude one thing that is the least similar. So we could say miyut shabishta. So it's being the miyut, the actual grape branches themselves. So if a person were to take the actual branch and then bite off a piece of it and start chewing it, then he wouldn't be chayef, because that's the least similar to all the other things that are mentioned in the pasuk, are after all things that are edible or drinkable under normal circumstances. But we would say that we'd include the grape leaves and so forth, because the grape leaves, after all, in principle, are edible. You see, nowadays, when you have the, you know, Sfardish cooking, right, they have stuffed grape leaves, for example. So that's Rabbi Lozer. V'rabbanan darshi klolu uprati. Meanwhile, the rabbanan are darshining in a way of klolu prat. They say miyayin v'shecher yazir prat. So you have a prat over there that only wine and strong wine would be osir. Then it continues mikol asher ya'asim gefen hayayin klal. So then it continues anything that's made from the grapevine. So that's a klal that should include everything that comes from the grapevine. Then when it continues mechatzanim v'adzog, it continues from seeds until peels. Chazer v'kolol, chazer uparat. So that's another prat. Saying that only those are also, nothing else. So now you have klalo. So now you have. Now we're familiar with in morning davening and the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel, we have klalo prat or klal. Here we're actually doing the other way around. We have prat or klal or prat. First a prat, then a klal, then another prat. So iatadon elakein a prat. So then again, we're going to learn from that only things that are similar to the prat. We're going to talk about later on. We'll learn in tomorrow's daf, Be'ez Hashem, what is the actual difference between klal o prat o klal versus prat o klal o prat. On the face of it, with both of them, we're saying yata don elakein a prat. So what's the difference between them? We'll get to that later on, Be'ez Hashem. But in any case, we're saying the chachamim are saying that we daushin it like that. Again, Rabbi Lozer is going to say we don't have another miyut over here, because according to him, you're using the other things that it mentioned in the pasuk to teach us the din that Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah said about the two seeds and the peel, as Tosfos points out. But now the Chachamim are saying we do have a prat and then a klal and then another prat. So therefore, iyat dana lekein prat ma prat beforish. So what do we have specified in the prat? Pri upsodas pri. We have the fruit itself, the grapes, and we have the waste of it. For example, the seeds or the peels or the vinegar or whatever. Af kol pri. So therefore, we can include everything else that is a fruit. For example, we can include unripe grapes. And upsolus pri, we can also include anything else that is the leftover of the fruit. For example, the Gemara is going to mention soon about grapes that have been infested with worms. So you have to be careful of those. Of course, you can't eat them anyhow because there's a certain to eat worms. But let's say, for example, you take out the wormy part. Still, the point is you're not allowed to eat the rest. But still, the Chachamim would say the leaves and the lulavim, those are never part of the fruit in the first place. Those are not pri, those are not psoilus pri, so those are not included. So the Braisa continues, I maha prat mefurish pri gomer. Well, why then? In that case, maybe you should say that the prat is specified and we're saying that and we're saying that it means that we're saying that it means that we're what are we doing? We're comparing with the Prat, and we're saying anything that's similar to the Prat. Well, what's mentioned in the Prat? Only things that are completed fruit, only things that are ripe fruit. Af kol pre-gomer, so maybe we should only say that the ripe fruit and the various things from it are also to the nazir, but not, for example, unripe fruit. So according to Tosfos, that is the question is, in other words, that so Tosfos first explains that the Braisa is asking that maybe we, in fact we should say that if a nazir eats unripe grapes or grapes that were wormy, then he shouldn't be then he shouldn't be chayev. Anyway, so Tosfos says that we don't want to exclude grapes that are wormy. Those, it's true, those are considered psoilus after all. But shouldn't we exclude boiso, which is unripe, because that's not anything like what it says in the that's not like anything that it says in the pasuk, because the pasuk is mentioning only fruits that are completely ripe. So where are you getting to include to include unripe grapes? So the Gemara answer, the Braisa answers, Amarto, well, you have to say, Im ken mahiniach l'cha akasov mashmoy shalai omroi. Well, in that case, then what would the pasuk be leaving out that it didn't say? After all, the Torah already mentioned everything else. It said, anovim lachem v'yveshim haksivi. It already says fresh grapes and dried grapes, raisins. Yayin v'chomets haksivi, and wine and vinegar, it also says. So Tosfos says, okay, we could still say that, fine, it doesn't include, the pasuk didn't mention wormy grapes. But still, the fact is, you have, we said there are two kinds of prat. We're saying from the pasuk that we have pre and we have psoilus pre. We have fruit itself, and then we have the waste of fruit. So fine. So from one of them, we're going to learn, wormy grapes. But what are we learning from the other one? So the Braisa says, so given that, ein alecha lodrin koloshen achron ela koloshen rishon, of necessity, therefore, you can't learn like the second loshen to say that it's including, it's not including anything, or that it's only including wormy grapes. We have to say that it must be including something else, and therefore that something else must be unripe grapes, even though it's true, unripe grapes are not really completely similar to the, to the prat, but nevertheless, the prat or klal prat has to be adding something, and therefore that's what we wind up adding. So the Braisa continues. Well, then, if anyway we're going to be including everything, because we already said that we're including anything that comes from anything that is from the fruit of the grapevine. So fine, we're not saying like Rabbi Elazar that we're including the leaves and the lulavim. But if we're going to say according to the Chachamim that from the prat or klal prat we're learning everything, we're learning even wormy grapes and even unripe grapes, then matamad lama mechatzanim madzog. Why is the pasuk mentioning the prat at all? Why does it have to mention grape seeds and grape peels? It could have just said mikolah sheyasim gefen ayayin, and would include all those things as well. The answer is loy malach, because that comes to tell you kol mokum shata motzer prat or klal, because it's coming to teach you not just for this case over here about nazir, but in general you should know throughout Shas, any time you find in the Torah prat or klal and you don't seem to find another prat afterwards, iyater rashoy lemoshker ledunay, you can't pull it away from being a klal, a prat, a klal, and judge it, it's just ke'ena prat. Now what would we say? When we have in morning davening the klal or prat, then it means ein beklal elamashu beprat, means the prat, and it means the klal is limited only to what's in the prat. So in this case, when you find over here a prat and a klal, and you have the other way around over here, you would say, if you said that prat or klal, normally prat and klal by itself would mean that we include everything. We start with the prat, but then we extend it to everything. Here, where you find a prat or klal, you can't assume that it just means that you should be kain a prat, that it should be similar to the prat. Elam nasa klal musaf ala prat. Rather, we say the klal is coming to add to the prat, and therefore it comes to include everything. That is the rule of prat or klal, that normally a prat or klal means that you include everything ultimately. Unless the Torah specifies for you like it does by a nazir, we're here, the Chachamim are saying, you have a prat afterwards. So in other words, the fact that the Torah is putting a prat over here is not really needed for nazir. It's true. Without the prat, we would have already included everything that comes from grapes, anything that comes, any grapes or products of grapes, we would have included.
The point of having the Prat over here, rather, is to teach us about elsewhere, all over the rest of the Torah, that if you find a Prat or Klal, and then afterwards you find another Prat, then you should realize that it is meant to be judged like Klal or Prat or Klal. In this case, it's going to be a Prat or Klal or Prat, and you're going to judge it similar to a Klal or Prat or Klal, namely that you're going to include other things as well, as the Gemara is going to go on further on Lamed Hay, on Daf Lamed Hay, to discuss that point. Okay. So that's the Braisa. So now let's analyze the Braisa. The Gemara says, Omamar, so let's see, we said in the Braisa, Maha Prat Mefurash Priupsolus Pri. We said just like the Prat is specified that it means the fruit and anything and the waste of the fruit, afko priupsolus pri. So therefore we include anything else that can be considered the fruit of the grapevine, and anything else that can be considered the psolus of the fruit of the grapevine. So let's figure. Pri means envy. The actual pri means the actual grapes themselves. And we know the Torah says that because it says you can't eat grapes. Psolus pri maihi. What would we mean by psolus? What would we mean by the waste of the pri? That would be choymet. So the Pasuk mentions that you can't drink vinegar, that a nazir can't drink vinegar. Then when we said af kol pri, we said also you have to include anything else that can be considered a pri. What would that be? And the answer is guharki. That would be unripe grapes. The definition of unripe grapes in halacha is, generally speaking, when they reach the size of a certain kind of white bean. So that's much smaller than the full-size grape is going to be, but nevertheless it's big enough to now be considered a fruit in halacha, so therefore we're saying the nazir is not allowed to eat them either. And when we say af kol the psolus pri, when we say any waste of pri, we're including something else that's not in the pasuk. So what do we mean by that? Amar Rav Kahana lasui invi dichrin. So Rav Kahana says it comes to include grapes dichrin. Now on the face of it, dichrin should mean male, but all the Mefoshim over here explains that dichrin means that grapes that became wormy. How the word dichrin, in fact, the Rosh has a different use. So the word is not dichrin, but rather dikdum, which would mean that it would mean which is a word dikdum or dikadum or whatever the word would be, which would mean wormy. So the Keren Ora brings another possibility as well. He says that it may be actually grapes that were burnt by the sun while they were still on the grapevine. So the point is, those are considered psolus pri, and therefore those would also be also as a result of psolus pri. Now, when the pasuk continues va'ad zog, when the pasuk says that he's not allowed to eat from grape seeds until the grape peels, or okay, we had Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah saying that zog means the seeds, but whatever. The point is, when it says va'ad zog, what are we learning with the word va'ad? Amravina la'isuye de bein habinayim. So Ravina says that comes to include the bein habinayim, the ones that are between. So what does that mean? So Tosfos explains that it means the flesh of the grape itself. In other words, the pasuk is saying that you're not allowed to eat the seed, you're not allowed to eat the peel, and you're not allowed to eat anything between them, which is the flesh of the actual grape. Although Tosfos then asks, what do you mean? The pasuk already says grapes, so what do we need to add that? So therefore, Tosfos brings an explanation from Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rosh says similarly that it means that these are small grapes that grow bein habeinayim, meaning between the other ones. They grow among the big ones, and they never actually get sunlight on them. Therefore, they never really become ripe. So they always stay small and unripe. So therefore, we need the word vadzog to tell us that the nazir is also to eat those as well. In fact, Tosfos says, at least the boiser, the unripe grapes, at least those are eventually going to become full-size grapes if you leave them. These, because of the way they're positioned, they're never going to become full-size and they're never going to be fully ripe. So therefore, you would think that maybe he's potter, and therefore the pasuk is telling us that not. Tosfos continues that if we go back to the original explanation and say that bein habeinayim means the flesh of the grape, the point is that even if he gathered together a kazayas of it, you wouldn't say batla daita etzakalotim. People don't normally eat grapes that way. No, we would nevertheless say he's chayev. Anyway, the Mefarish gives a different explanation. He says the expression "oseh davar hakorosh," this stuff that congeals between the zag and the charetzin, between the peel and the seed, and from it comes the dregs of wine. When you make wine, you have the dregs that sink to the bottom. So therefore, he defines that would be bein habinayim. It sounds somewhat similar to what Tosfos is saying as far as the flesh of the grape, but maybe it's like some specific thing within the flesh that you tend to find. Maybe like around the seeds or something. Anyway, Ravina is saying you learn that from the word vadzog. Okay, the Gemara continues. Omamar, now we said in the Braisa, I maha prat mefurash pri gomer. Now, at one point, the Braisa thought that since the prat is mentioning only things that are at some point a completed fruit, namely grapes, raisins, peels, seeds, vinegar, wine, etc., all of those are pre-gomer, afko pre-gomer, so we would think that only things that are pre-gomer should be osir, and we said that they are therefore boiser, therefore unripe grapes are not included, and Braisa had said, amarta, you have to say, in that case, then what would the pasuk have been leaving out by implication that it didn't say specifically? We have to be learning something from the prat to kwa la prat, so therefore that requires us to say that we're including something that we didn't have before. So the Braisa continued, Anovim lachem v'yveshim hoksivi, because after all, it specifically says fresh grapes and dried grapes. Yayin v'chometz hoksivi, it specifically says wine and vinegar. Ha ein alacha lodin koloshin achrin ela koloshin rishin. So the Braisa had said then that you can't follow the last loshin and say that it means only pre-gomer, ela koloshin rishin. Of necessity, we have to go like the original loshin, that it means anything that's pre or psodos pre. And the Braisa had continued, or my achash said, the reason why the Gemara is bringing this whole, the Gemara is re-quoting the whole thing from the Braisa, in order to ask on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So actually, you know what, let's leave that for next time, actually, because we'll use that to ask the question. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will continue that in the next year of Ezra Shem.